Good evening, everybody. I hope everyone is doing well tonight. If you'll indulge me, I have quite a few verses I'd like to go through. But this evening, I've had a lot of time to think about what I wanted to speak about with you guys tonight. I had a lot of issues trying to decide exactly what I wanted to speak on. I didn't want to say anything that was, you know, something that we've talked about over and over again. I didn't want to be repetitive. And what I ended up doing is I asked some of my peers, some other people that are, some of them that are working now, some of them that were in college, kind of the things they wanted to hear, what kind of things they would like to be talked about. I got a lot of different responses, and it was actually pretty interesting. I wanted to share some of those with you before I go to my actual topic. But one of the discussions that someone wanted to hear about was just discussions around the internet community, social media, and how it affects people nowadays. And I think that's a very interesting topic. It's a very difficult topic, one I was not prepared to speak about tonight. But if I did so get the opportunity, I would like to try to delve a little bit more into that. Another topic that was suggested was a topic about the little sins, the white lies, the little things that we do that sometimes we'd regard as less of a problem, some things that we do habitually, things that we take for granted, things that we don't necessarily give due diligence to. A white lie here, failing a commitment, not doing things that we know we should do, stuff like that. And he wanted to hear about how little things like that can really add up and really cause more problems for us in the future. That's another topic I thought was very interesting. I was not prepared to speak about that one either, but I would like to be able to in the future. And then one of the topics I heard last that I found was very interesting was the topic of love. One of the friends of mine was saying that they didn't really see a lot of examples of love out in the world today. The current culture, as everyone knows, is not very focused on love, not focused on really loving one another, really giving people respect, really trying to do the best for others. And I thought that was something that was very interesting. So what I'm going to do today is talk about love, which, again, I said I didn't want to repeat things, but again, love is one of the most important things, and there's no problem with repeating and relearning lessons because a lot of times we forget. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to start off in, let's see, 1 Peter 2, verses 11 through 17. In this verse, I chose specifically because when I was listening to all these questions, I was always wondering, I was thinking to myself, how do we react to the world around us today? How do we react to this pagan world with all these problems, all these issues? How are we to respond? So if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll read through verses 11 through 17. I would read all the way to the end of the chapter, but for the interest of time, we'll go just to 17. Okay. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves to the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake, to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to condemn those who do right, or commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. So what I took from that is that in this world, with all these things that are going on, it's important for us to live godly lives. It's important for us to live as God's chosen people. Earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter calls us God's chosen people. We are to be set apart. We are to be holy. We are to be separate from the nation, separate from the people. And we are to do that by living a godly life. I'm going to go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 4 to give a good example of what it is that shows that we live in God and that God lives in us. So give me just a second to turn there. So 1 John chapter 4, I'll be reading verses 7 through 16. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. All right, so when I was looking, I found this verse and I felt that to kind of connect the two thoughts I was thinking of, we are to live godly lives, and we are to be his chosen people. And we show that, and we know that we are of God, and the fact that we love people, that we love God, that we love his people, his chosen people, and we love everyone. And we need to better exemplify that. And I need to better exemplify that. And so when I looked at this, I decided to find, what is love? What do we know of love? How do we show love? What are Jesus' disciples taught to be like? How are they to be as people? So I decided, first off, I'm going to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through the end. Because this is just a good example of what love is. I think everyone is fairly familiar with this verse, but I'm going to go ahead and read it because I think it's important. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then shall we see face to face. But now in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I struggle to see this type of love in the world today. And that's disheartening. When I heard some of these questions from some of my friends and some of my colleagues and some of my peers, I kind of think back and I realize that this type of love is not what we see. This is not the type of thing that people exemplify. These are not the type of people that you hear on the news or you hear boasted about all over the internet and over TV and in movies. These are not the type of people that people honor, but these are the type of people that God honors. And that's honestly what matters. That's all that matters. And we need to be that type of people. Pardon me. I look at this and it's And it's kind of painful because I know that when people look out and they see all the horrible things that are happening, they're not seeing love. They're not seeing any of this. And we are tasked as God's people, as brethren, and as the body of Christ. We are tasked to be examples of Christ, to be examples of this light, to be examples of this love to the world. And I think that's a heavy burden, and I think it's a great responsibility, but I think it is one that is a privilege for us to have, a privilege. I'm going to go ahead and, in the interest of time, I'm not going to go ahead and read through all of Matthew 5 through 8, because everyone knows Matthew 5 through 8, but I am going to take out some points from there. The type of people that we should be, the type of people that Christ exemplifies, the types of things he taught his disciples to be. In Christ's teachings, he taught us to be the salt of the earth. He taught us to be lights, as I mentioned earlier. He taught us to be lights to the darkness, to shepherd people to see the true light, to see Jesus Christ, to see God. He not only tasked us to be lights, but he tasked us to love our enemies. We've been... In the Bible study class I've been teaching recently, we've been going through Luke, and recently we went through Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 is a great example of covering a lot of the things that were covered here in the Beatitudes. And before I go there, I just wanted to say that that the types of things that are exemplified here, the types of things that we are asked to do, that we are called to do, are so contrary to the world today. And I think we should take heart in the fact that we are to be separate, and that we are to love. I'm going to go ahead and continue real quick. Sorry about that. I got a little sidetracked. Yes, we were tasked as God's disciples to love our enemies. We were tasked to give to the needy. We were told how to pray. We were told how to fast. But also we were told to put our treasures in heaven. Again, something counter to the culture today. We are told to treasure the things that are spiritual, the things that are holy, to treasure up the things in heaven. Not to treasure the wealth, not to treasure the fame, not to treasure ourselves, but to put all our treasures in heaven. That's another thing that I think we can pull from this, how we should act in this world, how we should respond to the problems and the issues that we see every day in the world around us. It's to treasure up things in heaven. We are also told not to worry. And of course, that comes from treasuring up our things in heaven, because if we treasure up our things in heaven, we don't have to worry. What could take those away from us? What could take God away from us? Nothing can take God away from us. But we're also tasked to discern how we judge others. We're not told not to judge, but we're also told to be cautious of how we judge, to not be hypocritical. And I'm going to go ahead and go straight to Luke chapter 6 and kind of read through there to kind of sum up a lot of these thoughts. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and onward. Okay. But to you who are listening, I say, and I'm assuming we're all listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, What credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes and gore grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug deep down and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. God has tasked us to be like the teacher, to be like Jesus. We're not going to be greater than Jesus. We never could be. But it says here that a student well-trained, fully trained, will be like their teacher. And that is our goal. Our goal is to be like Christ. And to do that, we follow his commandments. He says here that we are to love our enemies. We're to bless those that persecute us. We are to lend to others without expecting repayment. And not all of those things are necessarily easy at times. Not all of those things are always easy, but it's something we strive for. I think the practical application to take all of this together is that this world does not know God. This world refuses God. This world fights God, and we have taken on Christ. We have given our lives to Christ, and as that, we are learning to be like our teacher. We are learning to be like Christ. We are learning to love. We are learning to be lights. We are learning to do his will, and to do that, we have to learn to better love. We need to be an example of what love is to the world, and we're not called simply to have the idea of love, because then we're not bearing fruit. Where if we were to be good trees, we bear good fruit. We're not judged based off of what we look like or what we say. It's based on our actions. And he sums it up fairly clearly here. I don't think I could say it much better, but if we listen to the words of Christ and we listen to the words of God, we are to do these things, and we are to put them into practice. And by putting them into practice, we're not just doing good. We're laying a foundation for ourselves, a foundation that not many others have, that no one else has outside of God, to be honest. And you see it in the world today. You see people who struggle and people who are utterly crushed by the torrents of life. But we have a foundation, And we strengthen that foundation every day by putting God's words and his commands into practice. And I urge all of us, as we go out today and in the world and every day, to think on the words of Christ, to think on the words of God, and to put that into practice. I don't want people in the world to say that there is no love, that they don't see love out in the world, because that means we're not out there. No, not enough of us are out there doing what we should be doing. We should be showing them what love is. They should be able to see us and to see our acts and to see our attitudes and to see Christ living in us. And that is to be an example, and we should be that example. So I urge everyone today and every day to be an example, to be like our teacher, to train ourselves and to put these words into practice. Thank you.